Ahoy, and welcome to episode 3 of the Tea for Two podcast, where each episode follows the brewing and drinking of a different cup of tea and a story that I find interesting. I'm Charlie, and I'll be your host. Currently, I'm going through the Revolution Tea Company's Best of the Best tea sampler. I'm not sponsored by them or anything, I just like their tea and wanted to try a few cups of it. I've preheated my water today, it's already heated up, but still have to make the cup of tea, so here we are. Today's tea is a sweet ginger peach black tea. I'm excited for this one. I've had good experience with peach teas in past, and ginger is always nice. Very, very nice sound. I remembered a spoon today. The spoon is in sight, so I'm excited about that. But the paper tab fell in again, and we're not going to worry about it. We're just going to go on with life. I'm very pleased with today's topic because I think that it's going to be very entertaining to make and to hear. When walking through a fine art museum, one of the last things that you'd expect to see on a canvas is a mummy. And even if you're not seeing one depicted, mummies actually may play a role in a lot more paintings than you think. Alright, I think we're just about good on the steeping here. Oh, that's going to be good. Now I'm going to pour the milk into my tea here. I like the way that the milk's been mixing with these teas very evenly. It's an indicator of good quality, I see it as. I've got some sugar, and I've finally got a spoon for the sugar, so we can mix it without burning ourselves here. Ooh, very good tea. The peach is not overpoweringly sweet, which I've often found with peach teas that it can be, but the ginger balances it very, very well. Today's episode is about a paint, which is most commonly known as mummy brown. Now, if you follow my YouTube channel, I haven't painted a lot. The only video that I did about painting was a poorly constructed clown painting video, and that was fairly strange, and I had a lot of amateurish art on my walls. But it's a hobby that I've very much enjoyed for a long time, and I think that the history of art and painting is something that's fairly important and fairly special. Paints are no longer made the same way that they used to be. Ingredients are no longer as raw as mass production has gotten very big. And the paint in question today, mummy brown, is made from the material mumia, which is essentially just grave-robbed ground mummies. In medieval Europe, the bitumen in mummies was marketed for a lot of health benefits, and it was even referenced as such by Sir Edmund Spenser in The Faerie Queen, which is a poem that I referenced in my The Story of Story videos for Roses Are Red on my channel. It was said that mummies stifled internal bleeding, and they were mixed into drinks, even formed into pills. The biggest claim was that the bitumen was very helpful, which was kind of a silly claim and wasn't really all too accurate, likely, but that was what people believed. In Victorian England, and even in the United States at a similar time frame, unraveling parties of mummies became very exciting for members of the upper class. At these parties, mummies would be taken apart, and people would get to see what was inside. And in the US, a fellow named Isaac Stanwood used them for bandages and paper in the American Civil War when rags were running out. Paper products made out of mummies were even sold for wrapping paper and to grocers. So by the 16th, 17th, and 18th centuries, mummy trade was booming. People were even making fake mumia out of the bodies of criminals. And by 1712, A la Momie had been opened in Paris, which was a store selling a paint called Caput Mortuum, or Egyptian brown, or mummy brown. Mummy brown was very likely used earlier than this, though. It was even likely used in a lot of pre-Raphaelite paintings, though composition and pigment varied in mummy brown, and little documentation exists over its usages, so a lot of references to it could just be based in speculation. Even many artists likely didn't know what was in their paint, and when Edward Burne Jones found out, he held a little burial and funeral for a tube of paint in his backyard, and with him at that time was his nephew, Rudyard Kipling. Mummy brown was very, very versatile, as it had high transparency, and it was used all over. Some paintings containing it are even in the Louvre right now. In 1849, the paint was called quite in vogue. But from the beginning, even with medicinal mummies, people saw the usage of the bodies as distasteful, and so there were a lot of critics of the paint. This led to claims of the paint's uselessness, and supplies diminished as regulation fell upon the mummy trade industry. By the 1920s and 30s, mummy brown wasn't selling nearly as well, and mummies were few and in bits and bobs. In the 1960s, mummy brown had been removed from sale completely. Now, recreations still exist, but many artists claim that they'll never be the same as the original mummy brown. A relevant poem of the week is Rudyard Kipling's When Earth's Last Picture is Painted. When Earth's last picture is painted, and the tubes are twisted and dried, when the oldest colors have faded and the youngest critic has died, we shall rest, and faith we shall need it, lie down for an eon or two, till the master of all good workmen shall put us to work anew, and those that were good shall be happy. They'll sit in a golden chair, they'll splash at a 10-league canvas with brushes of comet's hair. They'll find real saints to draw from, Magdalene, Peter, and Paul. They'll work for an age at a sitting, and never be tired at all. And only the master shall praise us, and only the master shall blame, and no one will work for the money, and no one will work for the fame, but each for the joy of the working, and each in his separate star, will draw the thing as he sees it, for the God of things as they are. A relevant song of the week is O Mona Lisa by Jack Stauber, which the video for is a very lovely thing. Our relevant etymology of the week is for the word paint, which comes from a nasalized pie, Latin root, which is to decorate or cut decoratively. If you want to drink along with each episode, the tea collection is The Best of the Best by Revolution Tea Company. Thanks for coming along for the ride, and I hope to have you again soon.